Haydn's friend and early biographer George Griesinger tells us that Haydn liked to play cards with his servants on winter evenings, and that he derived much pleasure and amusement from seeing their delight when they won a few pennies from him. From 1797 on, Haydn lived quietly and contentedly in his own house. Much to his pleasure, his wife was almost never there. She suffered from severe rheumatism and lived in the spa town of Baden, taking, as it were, a permanent cure. There she died on March 20th, 1800. Now, while her death meant nothing to Haydn, it apparently meant a whole lot to Luigia Polzelli, who immediately reminded Haydn of some long-ago promise to marry her if and when his wife predeceased him. Oh, my goodness, my friends, the things we promise each other in bed. All Haydn wanted to do was live out the rest of his life quietly. The last thing he wanted to do was marry again. In exchange for some peace and quiet, meaning that Luigia would leave him alone. Yeah, I leaves you, baby. I leaves you, baby. Now leaves me alone. Haydn signed the following incredible document, prepared, obviously, by Luigia herself. And I quote, "I, the undersigned, promise Signora Luigia Polzelli, in case I should marry again, to take nobody else for a wife other than the above-mentioned Luigia Polzelli. And if I remain a widower, I promise to leave the above-mentioned Luigia Polzelli, after my death, a pension of 300 florins in Viennese currency for as long as she lives. Valid before any judge, I sign, Joseph Haydn, Vienna, May 23, 1800. There's a neat piece of extortion. Luigia, for her part, promised nothing. Having gotten Haydn to sign on the dotted line, she promptly married an Italian singer, Luigi Franchi, and moved to Italy. Listen, by all accounts, Haydn was glad to be rid of her. No new woman entered his life to take her place or the place of Marianne von Genzinger. One reason why Haydn had neither the time nor the energy to deal with Luigia was that he was involved in yet another major compositional project, what would turn out to be his last. Baron van Swieten, eager to continue working with Haydn after their incredible success with The Creation, translated James Thompson's epic poem, The Seasons, and turned it into a libretto for another oratorio. While the libretto is not nearly as good as the one the Baron had supplied for The Creation, and despite his failing health, Haydn managed to complete the piece. The Seasons was premiered on April 24th of 1801, and like The Creation, it was a triumph. The reviewer for the Allgemeine Musikalische Zeitung described the audience reaction this way, and I quote, "Silent reverence, amazement, and loud enthusiasm alternately rewarded the powerful appearance of Haydn's colossal visions. The immeasurable abundance of splendid musical ideas surprised and overwhelmed even the boldest expectations. The Seasons, as one might safely assume, is in four large parts, spring, summer, autumn, and winter. One of the most moving moments of this extraordinary work occurs near the very end during part four, winter. Number 38 is the final aria of The Seasons. In it, winter becomes a metaphor for old age. The original English text by James Thompson reads as follows. 'Tis done. Dread winter spreads his latest glooms and rains tremendous o'er the conquer year. How dead the vegetable kingdom lies, how dumb the tuneful horror wide extends his desolate domain. Behold, fond man, see thy pictured life pass some few years, thy flowering spring, thy summer's ardent strength, thy sober autumn fading into age, and pale concluding winter comes at last and shuts the scene. Ah, whither now are fled those dreams of greatness, those unsolid hopes of happiness, those longings after fame, those restless cares, those busy bustling days, those gay spent festive nights, those veering thoughts lost between good and all, that shared thy life? All now are vanished. Virtue, soul, survives. Immortal, never failing friend of man, his guide to happiness on high.